Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know, we're your partners in wine, crime, and time, and dancing this week, I guess.
Maybe you, not me.
Maybe. No moves coming your way?
Oh, absolutely not. I wish I could, but definitely not my strong suit at all.
I mean, it's not my strong suit, and I'm going to, before we get into the case we're talking about, it is their strong suit. It's not a lot of people on TikTok strong suit, but they're going to buy just than just fine.
It's not even like Addison Rae's strong suit. Well, she's actually better than the D'Amelio's. It's definitely not their strong suit.
And those are some names I have not thought about. The D'Amelio sisters, I've not thought about them in a minute.
Oh, really? I guess that's true.
No.
Yeah.
I guess I never really thought about them before, but
yeah.
But I'm happy they're happy.
Yeah. I know, it's one of those things I can just be like, I'm too old.
And then they're going to be our bosses in like probably 4 years or something like that. Who knows?
Right. Oh my God. Embarrassing. But yeah, this week we are going to be talking about dancing, TikTok, and cults. Which of these things does not belong?
I mean, this really is a grab bag of what I feel like an episode of our podcast should be about. Like, it really hits all of our marks of like, silly TikTok dances and like cults and churches.
Truly. I actually started watching some of those videos last night and I was like pretty mesmerized. They're good. I mean, that's the thing. They make good videos. How you conduct like an entire church around like 15 second dance clips, I don't even understand. Like, I can't begin to understand.
I mean, it is the way to get, I feel, younger kids involved with it, because like a 50 minute sermon where you have to sit and like dress up versus, you know, 20 seconds of grease lightning? It's an easy way. It would be an easy door for me to pick.
That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, yes, today we're going to be talking about 7M, the alleged dance cult. And before we start, a lot of our information is coming from our good friend, esteemed colleague, Gabby Bluestone, her piece in The Cut, as well as Cheyenne Roundtree's investigation in The Daily Beast. So,
yes, and the Rolling Stone, too.
You. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Rolling Stone.
Yeah. So this is it's getting notable coverage too. So, which is, starting to pick up. And then also, I know we talked about at the end of last week's episode, this is going to be the upcoming, this is the cult that they're going to focus on and like a new HBO Max stock probably out like this year or next year, something like that. So this is going to be a lot. Keep this name in your frontal lobe.
Yeah. I would definitely love to see a documentary, but because The Cut article was very good and in depth. Although there was a part where I was like crumping, I was like skip, and then I was like, fuck, no, wait, it's relevant, go back.
No, it's actually so relevant because it's like when you said that the guy was like, those dances were good, I went to look at videos that he used to like, of him used to dancing, I was like, oh, it's so night and day of like what he was like, came known to be, Derek.
Oh, really? We'll like it wasn't good?
Oh, I mean, he was so good before, but he was like a master of crumping and everything. Like that was like and then like you got him and going like, like kind of like, yeah.
Wow. So it's very peculiar. Wild. So we'll start with the what. So 7N Films, at the surface, is a management company for dancers, and they basically have a group of dancers. They post online content and they dance together and stuff to like get some more views. Kind of like Hype House, like they're all dancing in the same house, everything like that. And it's owned by CEO Robert I. Shin with two N's. I don't know why that's relevant. It kind of is because he actually did change it from one N. But supposedly what they do is like, you know, what any management company does, they help the dancers get views, followers, get sponsored deals. And it seems to be working because like some of their dancers have millions of followers, are performing at the Super Bowl and are going to award shows, which like sounds like a dream come true, right? But it might be too good to be true because there are allegations that it's operated like a cult. And it also has some ties to a church, and we'll get into it, but definitely, definitely weird.
Very weird. And also it made me start to think, too, I'm like, Hype houses are very weird. I always just thought of them as like the idea stupid, and now I'm like, what is, yeah. Like,
what is their endgame? You have a bunch of kids living in a house. Who's supervising you? Like a 30-year-old, maybe? It's weird as fuck.
I know, truly, like the 30-year-old is the grown-up being like, oh, let's all get millions of dollars. And I'm like, I'm just always curious about like, what are the contracts laid out for these kids?
I mean, on the one hand, like I'd make so much more TikTok content if I was like living in a house and that was my job to do it all day. Oh, but
easily.
So I get the idea behind it.
I know. It does make sense. And it does seem like, because it's also one of those funny things. It's almost like you're in like an office for your dream job type of thing. Because you're like, oh, all these coworkers are going to help me out. But it does just feel very sketchy at its core.
I know. It's really weird. So, I mean, how did this story come out? Here's the thing. We're not on dance TikTok, so I didn't know these people until the cult allegation surfaced, which is very on brand for me.
I know, truly. I know. That's what's funny, because like all these people like, oh, well, you know, it's like the biggest people on dance. I'm like, this could be like, you could be like, oh my God, it's like all the major like chemists in the world. I'm like,
and great. I'm like, who? Yeah, sure. I believe you. But basically, it all started to kind of come to light in regards to the Wilking sisters, Miranda and Melanie, and they're trying so hard to like seem like twins, but they're actually 2 years apart.
I love them so much, but it reminds me, I mean, I guess Allie and AJ never said they were twins, but I always thought they were twins. So I don't know if it's like, I think they lean into it. And I feel like the D'Amelios, I feel like sibling duos always try to lean into that because then it's like probably easier, like fun marketing and stuff like that. But
I feel like you're right. But so it's the Wilking sisters and a man named James Derrick, who goes by B-Dash. And where does the B come from? Like, I was very confused. I thought his name was like Brandon for half the story. I'm like, what's the B? Like, I'm confused.
Maybe it's like you need to be dashing.
That's what I was kind of thinking about. Something and then what's like the dash? Like, I get Derrick. Ugh, whatever. Choose a better name.
Well, luckily for you, he doesn't go by that anymore because of, I think he just goes by Derek and Sevenette.
Great. Okay. He took my notes.
Yes. Listen, wait, Sarah is now like the leader of Sevenette. You're like, no, oh I'm God, a top right? agent there.
Okay. So the Wilking sisters were basically this sibling dance duo and they'd post a lot of videos together and they had this like kind of iconic long brown hair and these like light eyes, and
they were giving the Shining twins.
In fact, in a chic like way, that. Though. Yeah, you're not wrong. And so they even got their parents involved sometimes. I mean, like, you know, a little cute family dance time, sure, whatever. I'm not going to hate on it.
And also because they were all like, they really blew up during like the lockdown. So I think they were all like quarantining there together and stuff like that. So I think it added to like some cuteness to cling to.
I have a theory that nobody who blew up during the lockdown is like unproblematic. Like,
I mean,
I know you're seeing all this shit about people who blew up during the lockdown, and you're like,
I mean, I'm not gonna try to get dragged.
If you know, you exactly know. But yeah, but they really took off. I mean, they have over 2 million followers on TikTok, and the quarantine dances became their main thing, as did like everybody's. You know, that was what TikTok was all about. We were doing those dances.
Well, that's why we didn't have that that come up. You didn't see me entire dancing.
I'm all about the lip syncing. I stick to what I know.
It's also, I mean, like, you could not teach me choreography in April. I was just, like, looking at CNN being like, okay, so when is the, what's going on?
Oh, my God, facts. But then suddenly in 2021, their dance videos as a duo stopped. And Melanie kept their account active, but there was no sign of Miranda. And at this point, new social media accounts for Miranda popped up, and she kind of seemed like a whole new person. So she'd cut her, like, this iconic long brown hair. She cut it into a short blonde bob. I gotta say, I love it for her. It looks great.
It's cute. And also, to your point, it gives them a little bit of a variety.
Yeah. And they changed filming locations, and she started to post these really, like, high-produced videos with a rotating cast of people, including our man B-Dash, a.k.a. Derrick. And this is when it was also discovered that she joined 7M Films because the other people in the video were also in 7M. And also their thing is producing these like really high quality videos.
Which I mean, that it makes sense for what a management company would do. It'd be like, okay, yeah. Let's give you like a videographer and everything like that.
It's a better thing to be known for than a cult.
They're like, no, but our cinematography, that's the seed you should be thinking about.
Right, exactly. But basically, shit all hit the fan when Melanie and her parents posted an Instagram live saying that Miranda had cut them off, stopped visiting them, and didn't come home for her grandfather's funeral. And I mean, this was just like dramatic. So And after the funeral, they had said that Miranda's parents flew to meet her and said she was withdrawn and defensive and a different daughter than the one they knew. She stormed out of that meeting, they claim. And they also said that soon after the funeral, she blocked her family on social media, even grandma. Like, what did grandma do? She just lost her husband.
I was going to say, you're blocking a widowed grandma. That's cold. That's cold, Mel.
Yeah. And they also said she suddenly changed her handle to Miranda Derrick and didn't tell anyone she'd gotten married. Like, they didn't even know she was engaged.
It was also at this point of the article that I realized, oh, Derrick is the last name. Because I was like, that's not how names work, Derrick. And then I was like, oh, okay.
It is very confusing to have two first names.
Yes. That's not a cult. That's just a choice from the parents.
And also, the family says that she changed her number, blocked them, and basically had just become a whole new person. And this is kind of a common accusation that a lot of people who had loved ones join 7M would say. And Miranda kind of, you know, flips it around. She said she did talk to them, but stopped recently because they were not happy about her decision to move in with Derrick, and basically accused them of, you know, cutting her off once they realized that she married a black man. And the family was like, well, Melanie's also dating a black man, so, you know, what's that about?
Yeah.
But that's what's going on.
That's what's going on. So far right now, you're probably like, okay, this just seems like family drama. Why? I love being nosy, but why are we eavesdropping?
Saying. She's also like, this is just a family issue that, like, doesn't need to be publicized.
Which, fair. Feel you. But here comes the church element of all of it, which kind of ties into more of why people are thinking it could be a little bit more connected to a cult or some behavior like that.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So remember that CEO, Robert I. Ushin? Well, he also was a founder and now pastor of a church. Which is a very weird thing to me that, like, I always support people having a lot of hustles and kind of doing their thing, but to own a management.
Shouldn't be your hustle. Like, that's...
No. That's sort of just your thing.
For the love of the game.
You're in it for the love of the Lord, ma'am.
I mean...
So...
Yeah.
I saw... Hopefully. So, Shekinah Church, it's based in Santa Ana, and allegedly, as they say, it's quote-unquote a separate entity of 7M, so has no affiliation, despite the fact that the founders are the same, which I would kind of inherently think there is an affiliation.
I mean,
but alas.
Yeah, like, come on.
Like, sort of how, like, there's Meta and then there's, it's like everything.
And then there's Facebook. Sure.
And then there's everything's a whole, all the Lord's same. So this church had at peak 70 members between 2000 and 2008, which not a lot, but these members don't.
I know, I was going to say that's not very many.
No, you're not crowd surfing for Jesus there.
Yeah, you're crowd surfing for Christ. Fellowship.
No. But I guess I don't know if it's the Santa Ana of it or just the people who the quality over the quantity in terms
of monetary. I felt like Robert was being strategic out here.
Yeah, because he got 4.7 million donations in that time. Like, that is a lot of dollars.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's like all you people have money. Can't relate.
No, not at all. And this is all according to a 2010 deposition where Robert testified that congregants donated to the church, but also to him personally as the man of God. You know, when someone's just, you're getting Venmos for that, I guess, now.
Yeah, that's like sketch.
I've never heard a pastor be like, oh, just pay me.
Yeah, just Venmo me and I'll pass it along to God. I'm kind of like the middleman.
Even though I feel like if there was, like, for confessionals, that they'd be like, okay, you have to do, like, 12 Hail Marys or just Venmo me $5. I'd be like, all right. Here's, take my money. So then in October 2007, speaking of that, congregants gave him $300,000 in personal checks. So this is not checks to, like,
what?
Just to him.
Checks written out to him.
Yeah, so not to, like, the church. So he could do whatever he so pleased with these. And due to what Robert calls a clerical error, the church was suspended by California in 2007.
But like still continue to operate.
Yeah. So like, I mean, they're kind of just like, try us. We'll be, you know where to find us. And they found them and his congregants still found him. So because in 2008, there was a fracture in the church and about only, so we was started at 70, only 35 remained, which is kind of a
small church. I gotta say.
Small church. It's only like 6 Ubers you need to go from A to B, which I don't know if that really is the church student you need. Maybe some XLs will have to be thrown in there. So about this church a little bit more. This is all from like the Rolling Stones found this archive 2009 website called the Shekinah Church International. And it was founded by Dr. Israel Shin. So this is a name that Robert sometimes goes by, which is a little weird. Why he
every cult leader has to have like 6 names. Like he's Robert Shin with 1 N, 2 N's, Robert I Shin. The I stands for Israel.
The cult leader formerly known as Prince. Like truly, they just really like to flip it all around.
I feel like he has to like escape the authorities by just having like a million names, like D.D. Blanchard. Like he just can't that's find
and all the checks have different names. He's like, I can cash all them, but no. Well, my favorite about this is because from the website, so I'm like, did he make up this website? So this potentially might be self-described. I don't know if it is, but what I'm assuming it is.
I mean, like, I feel like it's not an independently created website. We That's can say true. That. Like,
that is true. So he, the website listed him as a former medical doctor who had successfully practiced medicine for 7 years before God spoke to him to go into the ministry. You know, like, I haven't seen that on Grey's Anatomy, but I guess that does happen to people.
I mean, I feel like, no hate to doctors, but like 7 years, you're in med school for longer than that. Like, I'm going to need more credentials from you, sir.
That's true. And also it's a thing too. Like you are just finally like, you would think he would want to do that because of all the training. He's like, well, let me do my docking.
No, I feel like he was like, nah, this is no fun. I can't make real money this way. And it's like, I'm going to start a church.
It's like, oh, I have to go to work to make all my money. Let me find
facts. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I was reading this article, like Danny, I think it's time we just start a cult. Like I'm not getting rich at this 9-to-5.
Quite the opposite. Cause I'm spending all my money taxes. At Pret a Manger. Yes. Yeah. I'm buying too many egg salad sandwiches from Pret. Like it's really not sustainable. Oy. So, I mean, who knows? Cut to us like next week. We're like, hey guys, like 7M is actually really good.
Like they taught me how to do the savage dance.
they would not teach you that. We'll get into that later. So the updated site, so this is the one that wasn't archived, but kind of had a rebrand, doesn't have a founder mentioned, which is funny. But it does say they have a mission to save 1 billion souls. It's a lot of souls.
Why stop there?
That's true. If you're only going with such an astronomical number. Yeah. And calls on followers to support the gospel with all means. So it's really by all means, that's meaning all your money. Is what I'm reading behind that. Yeah, all your means and your means.
This is also so funny to me because I'm like, you guys have 35 members. You have a long way to go. Why don't you call me when you are saving a little bit more souls? Like, get into the double digits.
This is all for, like, I'm all for, like, people, like, following their dreams and shooting for the stars. But you got to shoot for, like, the star before the star to get to the star. They should have just been like, let's buy the domain for this website first. Because then we'll go on. Not surprisingly... So the church has been called up before in 2009. So this was a year after or 2 years after like California tried to shut her out, everything like that. This YouTuber, Katie Joy, TBT, the original TikTokers, brought to light a failed lawsuit from a woman named Lydia Chung. She sued the church, Lydia did. So Katie just kind of like brought it
to light. Katie just had this YouTube channel where she kind of went in on 7M and she was able to kind of dig up this lawsuit.
Go Katie. Lydia sued the church and other defendants for alleged fraud and labor law violations. So she said that Robert exerted undue influence, mind control, and coercive persuasion, oppression, and other intimidating tactics over her to get her to turn over $3.8 million in property and other assets.
Yeah, I read that this was like, it was some of, she had a trust, she had a settlement from a divorce, she had property that she literally signed over to them.
If I had a trust... Trust and believe I would not be giving it to anybody else.
Yeah. Trust and believe. Oh, my God. It's so sad because that's so much money. Like, you would be pretty much good for retirement, I guess. And now
you'd be good for your entire life.
Yeah. You're not.
So she alleged that Robert also took over her email, passwords, banking info, and all of this to get her to turn over the money. Robert and his family used the money for living expenses, medical bills, entertainment, and for his girlfriend's law school tuition. I guess he realized that he needed a good lawyer for all of this.
he does tend to keep things in the family, so we will touch on that as well.
That we have, yes, yes.
So funny. Gotta recruit from within.
Truly, it's just like truly the Sopranos. So she said she was forced to work 6 days a week with no pay. So not only is she giving $3.8 million, she is working for, it's kind of, it reminds me of like how rich people pay for CrossFit when I'm like, you could just like move your furniture and not hire like a moving company and like that would be CrossFit. She had to give $3.8 million to work 6 days a week for free.
Okay. Yeah, I like that analogy.
Right? And I'm just kind of, and it did remind me of The Way Down a little bit when like, just because that was like top of mind because we just watched that, where the woman was like, oh, can I have a raise? They're like, don't, you're doing this for the Lord, yeah, not for money. And it's like,
cults love to take all your money and then be like, how dare you want money to survive? Like, you're greedy. Yeah. That part makes me so angry.
It's such, oi, 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 to make you angrier. They rebuffed all her claims after some time, and after a bench trial, the judge ruled in the church's favor. The judge said that Lydia acted on her own free will, but did note the church's actions bordered on coercion.
Bordered? Come on.
Yeah, what is it? Is this the Madonna song? Like, what is going
it's
on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it just seems like straight up coercion, but it's really interesting to see, like, Puppet Master and Bad Vegan and all this stuff and all these things about coercive control come to light more, because I'm kind of wondering, like, if this lawsuit were to happen today, what the outcome would be, because I just think people are more aware
because I feel like
of manipulation
back even like 5 years ago, people would be like, oh, you got fooled, like, them's the breaks. And now people are like, oh, actually, that is not a way that we should be handling people who are victims for things like this.
Right, exactly.
And there was also another lawsuit that one of his businesses had to deal with in 2011. Hung Hee Lee, an employee of Alpha Plus Realty, a real estate firm that Robert owned, sued for wage theft, which also sounds really intense.
Again, like, spoiler, he's not paying people.
No. And also a fun fact, all the employees also belong to the church. So I guess this was a team of five. We're not deducting. But also I'm sure, too, he's like, okay, if you work in this company, you have to go to my church to, like, up the numbers. I'm just connecting a dot. Lee alleged that she worked full-time and was only given $30 a week. That's not even
nothing. That is a coffee in New York City. That is a salad, I'll say. That's, like, literally one lunch salad in New York City.
That is a lunch salad, yeah. Oof. So she alleged that he took control of their bank accounts and said that work was done, quote-unquote, in service of God. Funny how his God means get checks, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. Funny how his God needs money, but their God, which is the same God, allegedly, you don't need money. Like, fuck this. I hate this. I got so mad.
It's so infuriating. She was ultimately, I mean, she had a better situation than Lydia. She was ultimately awarded $9,000 in unpaid wages and damages, but still, the fact that she had to go through all this, and I'm sure also, like, after she had to hire legal team and everything like that, like, did she get to see any of that $9,000? Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, because I think if you win, they typically pay your legal fees. So I would imagine that.
Oh, she's okay. Good. Bring in the dancing lobsters.
Right? The dancing lobsters. So here's, like, on why a church and a dance could connect. Wow, that sounds like a plot of a movie.
This sounds like, and I kind of did think of it, this sounds like a Candace Cameron Bure Lifetime film.
Facts.
If I've ever seen one.
Facts. So, I mean, because the internet is the internet, and, you know, you guys got to go listen to our internet sleuthing episode with Body Movin'. But our good old internet sleuths kind of pointed out that in conservative Christian circles, 7M or 7MM is frequently used as a shorthand for Seven Mountains Mandate. And the Seven Mountains Mandate is used by a certain group of Pentecostal dominionists who believe, I'm like, there are so many aspects of Christian, or not sects of Christianity, that I'm like, I don't know.
I'm also, you pronounce that so much. I was just going to go dominoes.
I was just sight reading dominoes. Yeah, I was just sight reading. So, whew.
I was like, so Pentecostal cheesy bread. They really, no shade because I love cheesy bread. So anybody, yeah. If any Pentecostal,
I thought you were going to say no shade because I love the Pentecostal church. And I was like, oh.
No, I love dominoes.
Right, right.
That is my church. Okay,
maybe
that is
speaking in tongues, but like only on my terms.
I love the song Tongue Tied by Group Love. I just started listening to Group Love again lately. I don't know why. I'm reverting. Anyway.
I love it. Okay, but they believe that Christians like them should take charge of... Actually, this kind of gives me like QAnon vibes because they literally want to take over like society by basically infiltrating what they call the seven spheres of societal influence, which are family, religion, entertainment, media, education, business, and government.
Now I'm like, was that Education Connect song part of this? Because that is media, entertainment, family, business.
Wait, and, how does it go? I went to the internet and the Education Connection. Okay. Yeah. Oh my God. What a pop. I wonder how that girl's doing.
Not well, bitch. No, I hope she's great.
Yeah. Right. Here's what's interesting, too. California records show that Shin was the CEO of a company called Seventh Millennium, Inc., and it failed in 2008. And in
fact, sounds like instead of running a dance group, that was for boy bands.
I know. I'm down for a boy band called Seventh Millennium, like Seventh Millennium. That sounds good.
Millennium Falcon. That could be fun.
Isn't that like a Star Wars thing or something?
I think so. Star Wars?
Star Trek? One of those. I think it's
Star Wars.
Nice. But yes. In fact, 7M denies that they're affiliated with the Seven Mountain Mandate, and they say the M stands for Millennium, which kind of does track. And it's like plausible deniability. I'll say that much. And so also, Isaiah Shin, who's Robert's son, has this in his Instagram bio, and I literally looked at it yesterday. 7men-Acts 6:3. That is a Bible verse that says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And now, I am not a Bible scholar, although I did read the book of Exodus in Hebrew school. But
wow, okay.
I did. Read the whole thing.
At CDC, I think I just like colored on paper. Like, I don't know. I feel like it was a lot of like worksheets.
We read the whole book of Exodus and then competed in a competition and then won. It was like Exodus trivia. This is so fucking embarrassing now that I say this out loud.
Are you like now like to relive your glory days, like Googling bar Exodus trivia? You're like, why are there no results coming up?
Oh my God. Well, Passover is just my like Olympics. Cause I'm like,
you're like the Passover know-it-all.
Right. No. Okay. So this Bible verse has to do with basically seven men being called on by the apostles to take on some of their work so that the apostles have more time to preach the word of God, which I just kind of think is hilarious because it's like ye old biblical job delegation.
Wait, that's so true. They're like, no, I'm busy, so you have to do this.
Yeah, exactly. God. Like, I have too much on my plate right now. I don't have the bandwidth. So I need you guys to take on some of my societal roles so that I can go preach the word of God.
Bumping that last request, I need to go bumping. Shout God.
Yeah. Exactly. So I kind of feel like this in his bio implies that he like thinks he's one of the seven men or is like aspiring to be one of them.
Seventh heaven. Who knows? I could see that. I feel like that would track for him putting it in there.
Seventh heaven. Maybe they're part of it. See? I will never look at the number seven the same way again.
No, I mean the main guy in that.
Oh yeah, right. Was a pedophile.
Yep. Spoiler alert, not on the show, but in real life.
Yikes.
So now let's get to these dances, because it is kind of interesting that you're like, all right, when you think TikTok dances, you think kind of ones that are like a lot of fun, very silly, kind of very like, almost some of them are like the people like Fox News being like, it's ruining our kids type of dances.
I think, because I feel like the TikTok dances that these kids come up with are good. I'm like, how the fuck do you do this?
Oh, no, because that's the thing, like, good and, like, actually, like, dancing and stuff like that, like having some movement.
Yeah.
And not in, like, and 7M kind of likes to go, they like to bring it back pre-TikTok on TikTok.
Interesting.
They like to, like, swing dance and everything like that. So one of Derek, and this was also noted, because I'm not a dance expert, I can't tell the difference between any dance. Derek's friend, though, Joey Knucklehead Truman, shout out to Knucklehead if you're listening. He saw one of the dances that Derek was in on 7M and immediately knew something was up. He basically was like, you lost your mind. And like, if Derek was with me watching someone do this dance, we would be laughing at them.
Okay, well, now I feel like when I watch Project Runway and I'm like, I like that dress. And the judges are like, this is horrible. This is disgusting. Like, the fit is terrible. And I'm like, well, shit, I guess I know nothing about fashion. Because here you say that, I'm like, I guess I know nothing about dancing. I'm like, this looks good. I couldn't do this.
I mean, it depends on which judge. Because some of them I'm like, I don't trust you.
Oh my God, yeah. Which ones do I not trust?
I won't say who, but this will be a blind eye. A Juma, who was revealed, I think. Yes. I met one of them and they were not nice to me, so.
Ooh, it's probably Nina. Let's be real. Okay, keep going.
Nope. But,
Wow.
So this is because Derek came to notoriety as like a top tier, like a crump dancer and everything like that. And he's now cut to doing like grease lightning dances.
Okay, I can see that.
And I think it's more so that. It's like not like he, like, I remember, I think her name was Jessica Long in the Rolling Stone article, who was like, me and Derek came up together. We did all the dances. Like, he was known for, like, this is his dance.
Yeah.
It's going to be his thing and his passion. And now he's still dancing, but not doing what he used to do. So some say the dances they do, I did not, this is, someone reported, some say the dances they do on 7M Films could have been choreographed by a youth pastor. So it's very kind of like, what are those things called? Like sock pop? No, I was about to say pop sockets. What were they? Like the sock hops?
Sock hop?
Was that
yeah.
A hop? Yes. Something like that.
That sounds like it could be a move. That's
right,
actually
baby
the kid
pop.
The kids bop version is pop, socket, drop it.
Wait. Okay. Opening up GarageBand now.
Thank you.
And I can get, yes, okay, we are on to that. You can now write music for 7M.
Yeah, this is now our cult.
Here's the Robert.
Cult.
Robert, we are actively dragging you, but DM us. So, but this is why they could use you. Because the music and also the moves are very squeaky clean and outdated, which is very unlike.
What is an outdated dance move? I got it. Whatever. I have to watch their videos like, again with like, a more critical eye.
It's like moving your, like, kind of like walking down the street, moving
like
your hands,
snapping.
No, literally. And they're going like, boop, boop, pop, boop. It's like very that.
Okay.
So, and also because that's the thing. Like on TikTok, the whole thing is like inventing new dances. You know what I mean? To kind of
yeah.
Like,
well, honestly, that kind of makes sense because I do feel like it like if you're gonna be Christian and wholesome, you can't be dancing to like thought shit. Like you have to do this more like, you know, squeaky clean, G-rated.
They are G-rating it all. They do like they reenact Grease, do air guitar moves, and like disco numbers, which is kind of silly.
Disco.
Robert also, meanwhile, he's just continues to come up. Living in a $2.5 million
okay,
mansion
right.
Where it looks like, no,
I see
right?
It. They're snapping and walking and matching suits and suits.
Well, that should be, we'll share that video on the stories where we link to this. I mean, everyone, I guess, now
yes.
Listens to this. But if you need confirmation, look at our Instagram stories when this goes up and everything like that.
Okay, yes, I love it.
So Robert is living in a $2.5 million mansion where it looks like some of the 7M videos were shot. And yep. Kind of circling back to what Sarah said, it's all in the Famiglia. His wife, Hannah, isn't that Italian for family?
Familia.
But there's a G in it. Oh, I guess it's
G. The G
silent.
Is silent.
For God?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Famigliaria. He would love to get that trending. So Robert's current wife, Hannah, just a little Hannah popping it, two H's, so I do trust her a little bit more, but no, not really, is the registered CFO of the church and also manages most of the dancers. And here's a funny thing, too, about how they are being managed, because it's sort of like this choreographer reached out to one of the dancers and was like, oh, hey, like, are you an expert at XYZ type of dancing? I'm looking for people, like, to connect to see if you want to audition for this. And they were like, talk to my manager. And the girl was like, oh, I just want to know if you can know how to do this dance before we even start those steps.
What?
So when she talked to the manager, she was like, oh, you know, just standard like SAG rate, like Screen Actor Guild's rate that like people set up for like pay. And the 7M person was like, what is that?
Huh.
And the choreographer was like, you're a man, you should know what the standard rate for like a SAG is, like that just kind of like knowing, you know what I mean? So it was very,
yeah,
they don't
weird.
Really know what they're doing. Yeah. So Hannah, looking at you. Daniel Joseph is the registered secretary of the church and also directs and produces 7M videos. So I guess that is where the Charleston moves come through.
No.
He also, interestingly enough, is married to Robert's daughter, who chooses some of the music for 7M videos. Sarah, you got to connect with her.
Right? Oh, my God. I have something for you.
I have an offer you cannot refuse.
Right. And since we have to cover this part legally, basically 7M's lawyers obviously deny any allegations that the agency's dancers are encouraged to cut off friends and family who are not part of the church. The claim that 7M uses Bible study as a recruitment tactic or requirement is also false, according to them. Here's what they say about Miranda. The false and sensational allegations about 7M stem directly from a dispute between 7M represented dancer Miranda Derrick and her estranged family. Despite her family's claims, Miranda is a successful businesswoman and a loving wife and daughter who cares very much about her family. It is pathetic and contemptible to try to turn her private family matters into a tawdry public scandal for clicks and clout.
Do anything for clout.
I got it right. I got to say, if you're doing something for clout, like, you're not going to go on Instagram Live. Like, nobody fucking watches those.
That is true. There is only one Z-Way, and that has happened, and no one else is going to be in Instagram.
Facts. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And B-Dash wrote on his story, first of all, there's two sides to every story. This is the other side of the Wilkings family drama. It started with a white, beautiful woman moving in with a poor black man from Compton that the parents did not approve of. I get it. I was renting a room and had no car. I was a divorced man with a son. He said of 7M, this company is not a religious nonprofit organization, but a secular for-profit company run by people who have faith in God. It is their job to manage slash control our bookings or schedules. That is not cult activity. It's called doing business.
Ooh, get Mary Cosby in this bitch.
Yeah,
I feel the God in me.
Oh, God. Some of his friends, or at least one of his friends, was like, yeah, he didn't write that. That doesn't sound like him. And all the 7M members obviously deny that they're in a cult. Some even kind of mock the idea of making TikToks of like, haha, nobody forced me to say this type of thing.
But I mean, that's also, it's a hard, and I think it was in Gabby's piece where she's like, this makes sense for people who like could get, I mean, we don't know, but I was like, for people who like get sucked into, no one thinks they're joining a cult when they join a cult. They're like, oh, this is great. Like, okay, people just don't get it.
Yeah, no, nobody thinks you're joining a cult. And, oh gosh, I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy too, because I feel like it's sort of at a standstill in terms of things happening about it. So I'm very curious to see if the HBO Max docs or this podcast episode moves the needle a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Like, I kind of feel like if it walks like a cult, and, you know, talks like
dances
a cult.
Like a cult.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Snaps its fingers like a cult.
I feel like it's a cult.
It's leaning that way. It is leaning that way. And I'm very curious to see what they try to rebuttal this. Because I feel like it's also like Gabby's article came out 2 weeks. I feel like it's catching more steam too. And Chrissy Teigen just announced that last week. So I feel there's going to be.
Why is Chrissy Teigen doing everything?
To try and PR her own name, probably.
You said it about me. Oh.
Oh my God. I mean, if she needs us to do anything with the girl, you know, Chris, hi. It's working though. Can I say hats off? It's working.
I mean, facts. I mean, yeah, I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I'm just kind of like, if it walks like a cult and you also own a church, I just kind of feel like it's a cult.
It's cool. And I know, I just worry for the kids. I mean, the dancing, because it's also, but it's also a hard thing too. I guess they're adults.
People like are fully grown adults.
But it's also a thing too, where people were saying too, it's hard, especially I feel like for dancers, because it's like such a grueling, no money business that it's like them to even turn away from the cult, and also that they're like living their quote unquote dreams in this sense. It's hard for them to turn out. So,
well, what's interesting too, which Gabby went into in the cut, was like, this company like gets people results, and a lot of people from the crumping era, like one of those guys got involved with another sort of very similar organization was sort of like a dance cult, but it actually didn't help anybody, so it kind of disbanded. But this one, like, they're actually getting the results.
They're in the Super Bowl and commercials and at the American Music Awards, one of those ones. So
yeah, the AMA. So they're kind of like, well, it might be even tougher for people to leave because they actually are getting from it.
Yeah. And then also, is fame just a cult? Boom.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Mic drop.
Just kidding. I won't drop this mic because I can't return it.
And that is why we will be starting a cult. But actually, I feel like the closest, our initiation will be at our live show. This is the last time I think we'll promote it. So please buy your tickets, betches.co/NATC Live. We're going to be at Union Hall. It's going to be a ton of fun. I think we're going to cover this like psychic scam lady. She sounds really fun.
I am
fun.
So into that. Yes. Maybe we can even do readings on stage. Me and Sarah can give you fake readings if that is something you're into. We'll bring Storm. We're going to open up a Google Docs and we're going to see what happens. I would actually love that.
That is so funny. Start thinking of your serial killer traits. I think we'll do that game again. That was super fun.
100%. It was such a fun time. So we really hope we get to see a lot of you guys there.
Yeah.
And I mean, while we don't know how to do dances, Sarah, as we have established, we are pretty good at playing games. And
we are.
What's better than that is Jorge is pretty great at making up the game. So I'm very excited to see what he came up with.
I was going to say, like, Jorge could start his own cult.
Ooh. Oh,
he could. The girls would join the cult of Jorge.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it would be all revolved around playing games.
Love it. I'm joining.
Honestly, yeah, it's kind of fun.
All right. So for today, I thought we could test your knowledge on dances. Since this cult is all about TikTok dances, I thought we would go back to where it all started and play a game called On Point. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to play you a clip of a famous ballet. And the first person to correctly identify which ballet this comes from will get a point.
Ooh.
And then they will attempt to answer a bonus trivia question about that ballet. I will say as well, there are a couple operas thrown in here. Because I tried to make it a little bit easy. I know this might be a low scoring game.
To make it easier to name ballets, you threw in opera.
Well, there's not that many ballets that you would be able to identify. I mean, maybe I'm underestimating you both. But for all I know, you could be ballet culture heads. But here we go. This is going to be your first clip. And again, if you know it, just say it. The first person to say it will get the point.
Oh, Swan Lake.
That is correct, Danny.
Wow.
Well done. I hadn't even started.
Oh, damn.
Wow, Danny. All right, here is your bonus question. Who composed the Swan Lake?
Oh.
Was it Rachmaninoff, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, or Beethoven?
Can I answer?
No. Is it Chopin?
Danny. Damn it.
That is incorrect, Danny. Oh. Sarah, do you know the answer?
Is it Tchaikovsky?
That is correct. Well done. Yeah. It was, in fact, Tchaikovsky. So Swan Lake was composed by Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. And it was composed
Nice accent.
Oh, yes. Thank you. 1875. So a couple years ago. And apparently at the start, it was a huge failure. No one liked it. And
damn.
Now it is pretty much the most popular ballet. It's the one that's performed the most, the one that is most recognizable. So don't give up, kids.
Jason Mraz, I won't give up.
There you go.
Is that a ballet? I'll make that.
We should
catch
make
that
it into
community
a
theater in Paramus. Jason Mraz's ballet.
My God.
All right, here is your second clip. Here we go.
Is it Phantom of the Opera?
Oh!
Incorrect. This is an opera, I will say that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Desmond
Romero. That narrows it down.
Okay. Is it the Magic Flute? No, that's German.
No, that's incorrect.
Fuck. Is it Verdi?
No, this is composed by Puccini.
Damn
Puccini.
It.
The correct answer was Turandot.
What?
Turandot? You guys haven't heard of this opera?
No.
What do you think I do in my off time?
T-U-R-A-N-D-O-T.
I have never heard of this ever, so that makes
and
me feel
that
better.
That song is called Nessun Dorma, and it is one of the most famous opera
But I didn't know where it was from. Oh, well.
Well, this opera takes place... Oh, yeah. That is the bonus trivia question, which I guess you will both get to guess since no one could identify it. Turandot is set in which country? Is it Persia,
Italy?
Russia, Morocco, or China?
Oh, Morocco? Ooh.
That would have been my guess,
Danny
too.
Danny guesses Morocco.
Sarah, my guess is Morocco also Morocco. Well.
The correct answer was China.
Well,
weird.
Yep.
All right.
It takes place in China, and it's about a prince called Calaf who falls in love with a princess called Turandot. And to obtain permission to marry her, he has to solve three riddles. And if he answers them wrong, he will die. Those are the stakes.
High stakes.
He does solve the riddles correctly, but Turandot still says, no, you're not going to marry me. And that's how it ends for the opera.
Damn.
That's not how it ends. I'm not going to spoil it, you know, for all you
no
opera
spoilers.
Heads.
We're definitely going to go to the opera.
Okay, chic.
But that is it. All right, here is clip number three. Here we go.
Nutcracker.
Yes, that is correct. That it is the Nutcracker. I'm going to give it to both of you.
Oh, God.
Well guessed.
I would see this sometimes at, what's that place? Paper Mill Playhouse in Jersey.
At where?
Wait, Jorge, did you ever go there? Because it's like I don't know if you would ever, it's a Jersey theater. Paper Mill Playhouse.
I never had the pleasure of gracing the New Jersey stages.
I never left New York to check out a ballet in Jersey.
All right, you both get that point, and you will both get to guess on this trivia question. What does Clara use to kill the Mouse King at the end of Act 1?
Is it
her slipper, a sword, a nutcracker, or a rock?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with a sword.
I saw
the nutcracker, and I don't remember.
Wait, I think it is a sword because I remember her dancing with it.
The correct answer was her slipper.
What? How? Yeah.
She throws her slipper at the Mouse King. And
it's a slipper.
The Mouse King.
That's how you know it's not a New York ballet. You try to kill a New York mouse or rat with a slipper.
Exactly.
It'll throw it back at you.
The king of the mice.
Yeah, I'm just letting anybody who comes visits know. Don't try this at home.
Yeah, what is this inaccurate representation?
It's a ballet, so there is a little bit of a suspension of disbelief.
Okay, we'll allow it, Clara.
All right, so after three rounds, we do have a tie game. We have two more rounds. Anyone's game still?
Shoot.
So here we go. This is your next clip.
Oh.
Is this the magic flute?
That is incorrect, Sarah.
Oh, man. Is it Carmen?
That is correct, Sarah. Well done. It is Carmen. Well done.
We had to learn how to sing that in like elementary school.
What?
It was crazy. In like another language that we did not speak. We were like, okay.
Is the bonus question about that Beyonce was in a MTV movie of this?
Which she was.
That sounds bad.
Carmen, a hip opera? I think she tries to scrub but it did exist.
Why would you
I'm
do
pretty sure
such
that's a
thing?
Dream. That was a fever dream, Danny. There's no way this is real.
Anybody Google that and you will. I vividly.
Oh, no.
That is my opera education.
All right. So here is your bonus question, Sarah. What does Carmen do for a living? Does she work in a cigarette factory? Is she a prostitute? Or is she a fortune teller?
I'm torn between cigarette factory and prostitute. I'm just going to go with prostitute.
Incorrect, Sarah. Ugh. She does, in fact, work in a cigarette factory.
Damn it!
CC, Carmen Cigarettes.
Which is a profession that I don't think I've ever heard of before in my life.
Never. I've never come across that in my life.
Cigarette factory worker. Wow.
Right.
Imagination of some people, huh?
Right.
All right, Sarah, you have gotten the lead in this game, and there is one question left.
The stakes are high.
This is probably the hardest identification round, but I'll play it, and then maybe by some weird chance you know this, I will give you a little bit of a hint, a little bit into this song. This is a ballet as well. Back to ballet. This is a pas de deux.
A what?
Pas de deux. So it's two people dancing together between a pair of lovers. And this was adapted from a play.
God, I know like two ballets, so I'm fucked.
Yeah, I don't.
And we got both of them already.
Wait, it was a famous play?
It was a famous play about a pair of lovers.
Is it Romeo and Juliet?
That is correct, Sarah. Oh! It is Romeo and Juliet. Well done. All right, Sarah, you have won the game because you have a 2-point lead. But here is the bonus question just for fun. Which Italian city was the setting for the play and the ballet?
Verona?
That is correct. Well done. Oh. It is Verona. Sarah, you have won the game. You are, in fact, on point.
Yeah. I love it.
And
ooh, that was fun.
Yeah, well done. It went a little bit better than I thought. You guys do know a little bit of ballet and opera. That was pretty good.
More bad.
Good for you. Sarah, you have lessened Danny's lead in the 2022 championship. As it stands now, it is 5-6. Oh, so still neck and neck.
Anybody's game.
And we will have a game in our live show next week.
Oh. So.
And Jorge will be there, you guys. So buy tickets. So, I mean,
Betches.co/NITC Live,
right?
I will, in fact, be there.
Woo!
And I cannot wait. It's going to be so fun.
Yay! Well, yay, this is so fun. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And hopefully we will see you next week. DM us at Not Another True Crime. Let us know if you're coming.
Yes, please, 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 please. Yes.
Yes.
It'll be a party. Maybe we'll learn a dance even for it too. Who knows?
Right.
And sky's the limit. You DM us to do something and we'll do it probably. Oh,
yeah. I can't promise the dance will be 7M quality, but...
No, not at all.
But it would be a dance. other than that, you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme.
And you can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.